Welcome to The Bard and Bible, a conversational devotional about scripture, life, and ministry from the perspective of a tabletop missionary still trying to figure out what those words actually mean when you string them together. There's a seat by the fire over there, and it looks like things are just about to get started.
Tonight's tale. Acceptance. Hail and well met, young travelers and old travelers. All are welcome at the Bard and Bible. I am not your resident dwarf bard, Mike Perna. I am his lonely assistant, John Campoverde. But I'm filling in for him today, so why don't you come on down, take a seat by the fire, and we'll get this party started. So the story I want to share with y'all tonight is a story that I'm sure you're very familiar with. It might even be your story. It's the story of how I decided and learned that I, too, was a dwarf bard. You see, I come from a family of, well, clerics, if I'm going to couch it in D&D terms, and I learnt at their feet what it meant to be a cleric. And I went to school to become a cleric. You see, my grandfather is a missionary, and my dad is a missionary and a pastor, and I was going to be an engineer, and then the Lord said, no, you were going to seminary. And so literally, the only thought that I had was, well, then I'm going to be at least either a missionary or a pastor. And I went to school, and I got to Dallas Seminary, and I thought, man, everyone here has it together. Everyone here knows what they want to be. Everyone here knows what they want to do. And I had a professor who said, you know what, John? You're pretty good at this. You should do this for the rest of your life. And so from becoming a pastor, I decided I would become a professor. And I would teach New Testament studies. And you can only imagine the light in my parents' eyes when I told them that that was what I was going to do. You see, it was the next step. We had a missionary and then a pastor and now a seminary professor. Man, I was following in their footsteps and I was going to make them proud. But then things changed. The Lord does that sometimes. He changes things. And so I, through the course of my career in seminary, felt the Lord calling me and tugging me somewhere else, tugging me out of this field of discipline that I was studying, through jobs that I had and different kinds of study. And I got married and things. Life just changed. I changed. And as a friend once told me, you're meant to do what you wanted to do when you were 7 years old. I remember sitting there, she told me that, and I thought, what was I doing when I was 7 years old? I was playing video games. I was playing make-believe outside. My friends and I were LARPing before LARPing was cool. I was a nerd. I liked stories, and I wanted to interact with them, not a dead language. And so we talked some more. I took a couple of writing classes, and I realized, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to study story. I want to write. I want to play games. So I changed my emphasis and my degree. I changed what I was doing with my life, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to be a media arts and worship student at Dallas Seminary. And I can remember the anxiety of going home and telling my grandfather and my father, I'm not going to be the person that you wanted me to be. I wasn't meant to be the person that you want me to be. I was made for a purpose. And I finally figured out what that was. You see, there's a piece of me that feels a little ashamed about this kind of hobby that I do, the gaming and the criticism that I write for different organizations like Game Church and Inroads, and the conversations I have and the trips I take. And I was feeling a little afraid that God had made me to be this person, because it's not a kind of person that the church or Christians normally understand. I can remember sitting in youth group messages as a volunteer or as a member of the youth group myself, and talking about the dangers of video games and the dangers of games. And I remember when Pokemon was such a huge thing when I was a kid, and I had Pokemon cards and we threw them out, and I could not play Dungeons and Dragons because it was the devil's work. And that was the stigma that I was carrying around with me, as I thought, man, God, you've made me to tell stories. You know, I want to share stories with people. And so sitting at home on Thanksgiving dinner and telling my dad, hey, I am, you know what, I'm a dwarf bard. I was made for a purpose. And that purpose is to share stories with God's people. Well, let's just say that conversation went pretty well, considering. My parents have always been supportive, and they all love me tremendously. I think the buildup in my head was more than anything could have been. And yet, I could tell that there's just a disconnect there. Now, the relationship is a little different. I'm not the son who is going to become the next great New Testament professor. I am a dwarf bard. And that's okay. You see, I had to spend some time realizing that scripture is very clear that everyone really is made for a purpose. Everyone is really a dwarf bard at heart. And, you know, where I figured that out is whenever you read Paul, and he's talking to the different churches, he's telling them, you know, there are people among you who are made for a purpose. There are people among you who are made to do certain things, to fulfill certain roles, to have certain giftings. I think of the one that most people jump to is in 1 Corinthians 12, where he says, you know, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If I were to become the person that my parents thought I should be, if I were to become this great New Testament theologian who would speak into the places that God has called me to, there are plenty of people who feel called to do New Testament studies. I know, I used to be one of them. But not a lot of people talk about video games and gaming, and not a lot of people talk about the impact that these things can have on our lives, the building of community, the way that they frame our perspective of the people around us, the way that we understand others because of how we step outside ourselves and experience the life and adventures of the heroes in our books or the characters at our table. Who is going to tell that story? And the thing is, you know, I still have moments where I whisper under my breath that I like to play D&D. I recently took a job at a pretty conservative school teaching science, and I have to navigate that pretty carefully. I have to deal with whether or not people will be as accepting of me as I think they could be. And, you know, that's kind of comes with the territory to some extent. It's unfortunate that it does. I mean, scripture is very clear. We are all gifted for certain things. We are all gifted for the common good. And I guarantee you that a gamer, whether video or tabletop, has a heartbeat for relationship, has a heartbeat for community, because that's all we do. We play games with one another. And I don't know what better responsibility or what better gifting for the common good there could be. And yet, so much baggage on what we do, so much baggage on who we are, that it becomes almost impossible to have the courage to step out and find our place in the church. I'm not saying I have it all together. I'm not saying that I'm this perfect person. I'm continuing to worry about whether or not my church, the church I go to, would be so accepting to allow me to do some kind of gaming ministry at church, some kind of tabletop small group, kind of like what Mike is doing at his church. But I know that God has a purpose. I know that God has a plan. I know that God has called me into this world to speak truth into places where darknesses and lies have pervaded for so long. You know, that's what a dwarf bard does. That's what bards do. They travel, they speak truth, they carry stories, and they tell people of adventures long past. And that's what I was called to do. You know, Mike has been such a wonderful testimony to me of what it means to be a Christ follower and a dwarf bard, comfortable in one's own stature and skin and role in this great big community that is the body of Christ. And I am just so blessed to have been able to spend the time with him and get to develop my own sense of security. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, I'm talking about spiritual gifts and I'm talking about giftings, and, you know, there's some people who would try and say, well, you know, playing video games isn't really a spiritual gift, John. And I would be like, you're probably right. You know, I'm not saying that it is. And I'm, you know, how well is it? Are you an apostle or a pastor or an evangelist or, you have the gift of hospitality? And I think that's a bit narrow to try and label things simply because those are the lists that Paul made in the certain letters that he wrote. I mean, no list is exactly the same. And I think that there's something special about how the Spirit redeems parts of us that reflect God. Because, you know, in Scripture it talks about when God was creating Adam and Eve, that he made them in his image. And so every single one of us is made in the image of God. That's the Imago Dei. Humanity reflects God. We're like tiny mirrors. Sure, some of us are pretty dirty. Some of us don't have a perfect reflection. And yet with Christ, he makes all things new. And that image of God that I reflect now is redeemed because of Christ and because of what he's done in my life. And so, yeah, maybe my WoW addiction back when I was in college was not like a spiritual gift. But I can guarantee you that the heart for community, for playing games that I am instilling in my kids at school is. I've been taking board games to school every Friday since I started working there. And I have been allowing kids to play board games when they're done with their schoolwork. And just to see the camaraderie and the change in the classes that are able to pick up a game of maybe Lanterns or Ta-Da and play with one another and share the experience with one another. It's so awesome to see how they just grow together. And I think if I hadn't stepped into the role that the Lord put before me, if I hadn't been strong enough or brave enough to take the step, I'd be missing out on that. I'd still be stuck trying to get a job back that I didn't really want, or trying to figure out how to work with people who I necessarily didn't get along with, and trying to stick to a field of study that kind of just made my heart die, if I'm being totally honest. It turned me into a very angry person because it wasn't what I was meant to do. So maybe that's you. Maybe you find yourself in this place where you're like, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I feel so unfulfilled, or I feel so angry or so unloved or unwanted in my current situation. I'm not saying that that's because you're not supposed to be there. For me, that's what it was. For me, the Lord had a different place. But I required that I needed to talk to him about it. I had to sit down and speak with God and see, all right, Lord, how have you made me? Who have you made me to be? And to find acceptance, not from the people around me, not from my parents, not from anyone else, but from myself. To learn that to be a dwarf bard, the first step is to accept that you're a dwarf bard. You know, it's like the first rule of Fight Club. We don't talk about Fight Club. The first rule of dwarf bardom is to accept for yourself that you are a dwarf bard, made for a purpose, never suboptimal, because our Creator God has made you in his image, to serve him and to edify the body for the common good.